This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. The Sims Spotlight is sponsored by Balance of Nature Whole Food Supplements. Visit balanceofnature.com. Phil, good morning.
Good morning, you guys. How we do? Hey, listen, Geo.
Yeah.
If you go make fun of my ass, okay, let's do it the right way. You know, if you're going to say, it's Phil, you got to say a little southern accent. Phil.
Phil.
Yeah, there you go. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my,
oh my gosh.
Yeah,
we got
right.
Everybody
right.
Over here at the radio station saying, oh, my gosh, there, my cuddly toy friend. You know, when I hear that that Best Friend song and they you know, you listen to the words and you're saying cuddly toy, that's not what I think of Phil Sims.
No.
Well,
not
cuddly at all.
No, I don't even know what to say to that.
Hey, how'd you feel about the James Brown comments on the Jimmy Traina podcast where he said that he missed you and Boomer?
Yeah, that was very nice. I did hear that. That was yesterday. Did y'all talk about that yesterday?
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
And
yeah,
he said nobody prepared more than you. That's what James Brown said.
Well, that's what I like to tell people. It's not really true. So, no. But, hey, what else am I going to do? So, I do. I like to watch football games. Big deal. It's, you know, people say, you watch the games, all of them, every week? And I go, yeah, just think, I have to watch football. That's my job, the games. And all of a sudden they go, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, that's pretty good. So, yeah, it's fun. I like trying to find out. I'm nosy, just like Boomer.
Yeah, and watching the Jets is a chore these days. That's not fun. I don't care what you say.
Well,
so just go. Say whatever you want to say about that train wreck.
Well, I'll say this about the Jets. First and foremost, I thought their offense was more expanded, more had more plays, more thoughts, and all that against the Patriots. I thought Aaron Rodgers played well. Of course, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, a lot of good stuff there. They did everything to help their team win. And then the most fearful, whatever you want to say, defense in the NFL. This is what's going to take us to the Super Bowl. It lets them down on the last drive with Jacoby Brissett in there, who was the backup quarterback. They made mistakes on the last drive. They gave up big plays. They let the quarterback scramble for 14 yards. They had a blitz, and they forgot to cover somebody. And then the big one, the big throw down the field to Boutte, who was dropping everything for the Patriots, all of a sudden makes a great catch, and you just sit there and watch the game and go, they're going to lose. It's not going to happen. And many reasons why. The kicking game was terrible. So there you go.
Yeah, they're they're in a weird spot, Phil, and for a lot of different reasons, whether it be Aaron's personality, whether it be trying to get, you know, Davante Adams in the mix. You know, one of the things I asked Gio, and I thought maybe I was seeing things, and then went back and watched the tape again. Is there a reason why, like, Garrett Wilson keeps falling down after he makes a catch or feels like he has to go down to make every catch on the ground?
Well, I don't know the reason. I think the fact a couple times I would just say he's his first thought is to really just to make sure and secure the catch. So he gives everything up to get both hands, both arms, and to just to be careful not to drop it. That's I know what you're talking about. A few of those throws, you think, well, he could have just ran through the pass and maybe picked up a lot of extra yards. But I think that's what it is, just trying to just secure the catch and not worry about catching him running. So
yeah, my thing is, like, a great receiver's, you know, he's a good receiver. I know Adam Orcholetta was really extolling his virtues during the game, and I'm not saying that they were all that accurate of passes coming his way. And I just felt like, you know, some guys run and they'll snatch the ball with their hands and they'll keep running. I don't know. Maybe it was just me. I guess I'm nitpicking here, but I want to see a guy that is supposed to be a number one 1A receiver, you know, yes, make more plays after he gets the ball in his hands.
Well, I look down at there. I got a sheet in front of me that I write about each game a little bit. And I got Garrett Wilson, 5 catches, 113 yards. And this is exactly what it says. Could have and should have been more. So maybe that goes into what you're saying when I watch the game and everything. But I don't know about the Jets. It's funny. They got the offense going, and I do mean it. I thought they presented more plays and more thoughts. And Aaron Rodgers, you know, look, he made a lot of great throws. And now you just wish when you watch the game, you wish New England would have scored a little earlier because Aaron Rodgers was definitely going to get him down there to try at least get a field goal try.
Well, good luck with that. That's a fiasco.
Yeah,
I would imagine that they're going to have a new kicker Thursday night. So now no Steph Diggs for the Houston Texans. Obviously a huge loss for them because he had the most receptions out of this wide receiving crew. But your assessment of the Texans, they're 6-2. They're running away with the South. I feel like I guess Indianapolis is right on their heels. They're going with Joe Flacco now. But right. Your sense of the Texans and where they are, and this is probably a game where it's hard to believe the Jets are favored in this game.
Well, I think there's a couple reasons. Nico Collins out, Tank Dell out.
Steph Diggs is out.
Steph Diggs is definitely out. And Tank Dell is out too, if my recollection is right here. But no, he's going to play. Sorry. I'll get it straight here in a minute.
Well, you're confusing me now. Hold on for a second.
Yeah, I'm confused too. I was writing it down. I am confused, but whatever.
Yeah, Tank Dell is playing.
Yes.
Yes, he is playing. Yeah, Nico Collins is out and Steph Diggs is out, right? Did I get that right?
Yes, Nico Collins is out until week 10.
Right. Okay, there we are. We're all settled down here now.
Okay.
You know, I would say this about the Houston Texans. It's not what it was last year. They're trying to find their way. They've had a lot of injuries. When you look at their depth chart, man, it's just red with people that are hurt, stuff like that. C.J. Stroud is taking more hits, throwing the football under much more pressure than I saw him under last year. You know, they move him around. He's elusive, all those things. The offensive line, it's having its problems. So, you know, you're right. I can understand why the Jets are favored Thursday night, their place. I guess the team that's beat up and really struggling more than we saw last year. So this is going to be interesting for the Jets.
Well, obviously firing Robert Saleh, at least in the short term here, has not worked. The team is 0-3 under Jeff Ulbrich. Do you think that the defense had its problems simply because Ulbrich now is asking to do more as being the head coach as well as just being the defensive play call, which we may have a difference come Thursday night for the Jets?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't imagine it really is affecting him that much. In other words, you know, the head coach, there's a lot of things to do, of course. You know, who's hurt? What are we doing? How are we going to practice? Do all that. But I still think there would be plenty of time left, and there's many coaches that can kind of do both, that he can get ready to have the defensive game plan, have it set, and everything like that. I mean, it was there for the Jets last week, big time. It really was. But down when it counted on that last drive, they just made mistakes. They gave up plays they shouldn't have. And Jacoby Brissett against a big blitz makes a really good throw down the field. And once that throw happened, you just go, like the Jets are going to lose this game. And I'll give New England a little credit, though. They did a great job and fought hard to play better. But the quarterback did a good job getting them down the field.
Phil, I know you're probably not going to like this question. You're like, you know, breaking down what's happening right now and going too far into the future. I could tell you're probably not going to love it. But when I look at the Giants, this is a team that's going nowhere again. I actually like Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, and I hope that John Mara keeps them there for the next regime and the next quarterback and all of that. Do you think that there's a chance that this season goes off the rails in the way that it did with Joe Judge and the way that it did with Ben McAdoo that led to their early firings? Or do you believe that Brian Daboll is going to be able to keep this thing together enough to be able to be handed the keys back next year?
I'll say this, and I think about this, of course, all the time as I watch the games. And each week I think, well, I hope the Giants can pull a victory out to settle everything down with the franchise, with the fans, with you guys on the radio, whatever. And I think they can. I know that they're kind of the same thing when I talked about the Jets. I thought the Giants showed a little more hope on the offense this past week against Pittsburgh. You know, more plays. I mean, the swinging gate play, wow, that was unbelievable. It really was. Boomer, did you ever run that play in high school, college, or anything like that?
Yeah, we ran it, and, you know, everybody was aware of what the hell was going on. For some reason, and this also happened on the strip sack by T.J. Watt, you know, he's supposed to move the tight end over there. Illuminor thinks he's getting a chip. He sets a different way, and T.J. Watt comes over, and Daniel doesn't, you know, get the position right or doesn't get the formation right. I mean, these kinds of things keep happening, and this is our responsibility as quarterbacks. And you and I talk about this, and we have been talking about it for years. Communication, making sure everybody knows what's going on, and if there's a tip that needs to be given, you give the tip to the guy that you're getting ready to throw the ball to, or you remind the guy, hey, guys, special red alert, we got a special play, get ready, get your heads out of your asses, and let's go.
Well, that's pretty well said. You know, the swinging gate, you take your offensive line and throw them out there. And you catch the defense by surprise, and they caught Pittsburgh by surprise. And it's just count the numbers. Do we have more guys out there than they do? So we throw it out there. If they run a bunch of people out there, then we run another play and go up the middle and get the two-point conversion. So it was hard to – that was one play I just went, wow, how can you mess that up? It's really simple. I actually ran it twice in college. Very lucky I got two touchdown passes out of it. But it is. It's just numbers. It's easy. It shouldn't have been a mistake. It was a big mistake once again by the Giants in that situation. And when you talk about that and you talk about taking care of the best pass rusher on the other team, those are mistakes you cannot make. It would be like us playing the Philadelphia Eagles. Hey, here was how we blocked them. Everybody's got their guy, and the free guy, the fifth guy, make sure you find Reggie White and go double-team him. And, you know, that's kind of what you have to do against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Same thing with Lawrence Taylor. Where's 56? Find him, and this is the way
make sure we double-team him.
We're sliding the line that way. We're sending it back that way. We're sending everybody over there because we don't want that guy to wreck the game like T.J. Watt wrecked the game. That's a game-wrecking play. And the quarterback did not have the wherewithal on the road in the biggest moment to have the right freaking formation. And that's the thing that pisses me off more than anything. And
wow.
That's the thing that just drives me crazy because that is our responsibility.
Gio, gosh almighty.
By the way, your other great quarterback from your franchise, Eli Manning, called it on the Manning cast. As the play is unfolding, he's got to get the tight end over there to the right. And even Eli knew it was supposed to happen.
I mean, even Eli?
What I mean by even Eli, but in the moment, Eli knew it. I saw that the replay, and to his credit, Eli basically said, you got to get the guy over there. And then when he didn't move him over there and the strip sack happened, you could see how exasperated Eli was because Daniel didn't do the right thing.
Yeah, but we all know that Daniel Jones isn't the answer here. And this is what I was trying to get at. I mean, it's like we spin around in circles for the last how many friggin' years talking about Daniel Jones. He's not going to be the guy who is the answer for them. So really what I want to know, and this is the only question surrounding the Giants right now, Will Joe Shane and Brian Daboll be here and be allowed to select the next quarterback for this team?
Okay, well, first off, I'll answer that, Gio. But first off, it's an epidemic in the NFL, Boomer, when you talk about when the defense blitzes, we mess it up somehow, or not doing things like we saw with Daniel Jones against T.J. Watt. I watched so many games, and I go, oh, my God, why can't we block that guy and throw it down the field? It's almost every game, every team, for some reason, well, I do kind of know the reasons. I'm not going to get into it. They make mistakes about picking up the blitz. And for Daniel Jones, I would say this. If I was a betting man, Gio, I would bet heavy that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane will be back next year with this team. You know, to shake it up one more time and to start over it in the front office, with the quarterback and whatever else you want to talk about, I think that's too much. So they had a great fight in them the other night against Pittsburgh. I saw a difference in the team, a little more energy, more plays. So I think they'll be able to hold it together enough where John Mara, whoever, and all the guys that make that decision for the Giants, they'll know that they got to give Joe Shane and Brian Daboll just one more chance.
All right. I think I know this answer because you and I speak regularly about the different things, because I know you like evaluating quarterbacks, and I know that you've been watching a lot of college football, and we have talked about it. Let's say the Giants have the first overall pick in the draft. Who is the quarterback that they will select out of a list of Shador Sanders, Cameron Ward, Quinn Ewers, Jalen Milroe, and Carson Beck?
Well, I don't have an answer for that yet. I'm not sure about any of them as far as, you know, you and I did talk, and I said, you know, Boomer, this quarterback clash that everybody keeps talking about, all these guys going in the first, it's not going to happen. It's just not. You know, as we watch the games, we see guys just go, okay, he just went from the first round to about the fourth round. I mean, it's just, you know, the two that jump out at you, I guess, a little is Shador Sanders and then Cam Ward. And I look at Cam Ward, yeah, I think he's a really, really good college quarterback, but I got to see more and think about it and study him and all that. I don't look at him and go, wow, that's the first pick of the draft. I guess if I looked at any of them right now, it would be Shador Sanders would be the guy that I would say he at least crosses out a lot of the things you like. Size, mobile enough, good arm, accurate, lots of experience. So I think he's ahead of the whole class when I look at
Dad Carson Beck. He also has a dad that's going to be a pain in the ass, who probably doesn't want his kid to come to New York. He's basically kind of said, I'm going to be picking where my kid's going. I think he's going to the Raiders myself, if I had to guess. Now, let's just take him off the board. So, what about this kid, Quinn Ewers, at Texas, the guy that's sitting in front of Arch Manning?
Well, you watch a lot of college football. You guys do. When I watch him, let's see. I'll ask you a question. Now, give me the answer within a couple seconds. What's his great attribute? Go.
Arm strength. I think.
No, come on. No, not even close.
Eddie Scazzeri says leadership, and he is our king of college football and Fakakta football here. He said leadership is Quinn Ewers' greatest asset.
Okay, well, that's awesome. Leadership.
All right, so.
When you talk about a franchise quarterback, give me something that is physically going to make him the franchise quarterback. It's not just leadership. Okay. That's down the line.
All right, let me ask you this question. J.J. McCarthy, if he were in this draft, would he be the first first quarterback picked?
Well, what I saw about him in preseason, what little we got of him and everything, I would say absolutely. I mean, I got to tell you, he got on the pro field when I just watched it in preseason. I just couldn't get over how good he looked, how fast, how mobile in his arm. He does have a really strong arm, and he's accurate. So, yes, he would have been the first guy probably in my eyes, especially after what I saw in preseason, what little we did see of him.
Of the rookie quarterbacks, I know everybody's talking about Jaden Daniels, and we have spoken about him. How about Bo Nix and what he's doing in Denver right now?
Just gets better every single week. I mean, this past week was another episode of Bo Nix making plays, moving around. He's running great, throws really well on the run, got size. I mean, Sean Payton has found his guy. He's got just a newer version of Drew Brees. And this guy's a little more athletic than Drew probably was, moves around, stronger arm, and I love the offense they run. And it is, for a rookie quarterback, Sean Payton is holding nothing back. It's all out. Let's go. And Bo Nix, it's fun to watch just because it's every play. He's got a little Fran Tarkenton in him. He's got all this stuff going on, man. I tell you, I didn't think he would fit into the NFL as fast as he has or as easy, but been very impressive. And, hey, what is it now? 5 in a row for the Denver Broncos. They've won, so it's working out pretty well.
Phil, always great to talk to you, and we will talk to you next week for sure. Enjoy what will be hopefully a fun Thursday night game of the Jets and the Texans.
We hope so, too. Gio, you didn't get to ask any questions, you know.
But the one I did ask, you know, you didn't answer. It took forever to
get
to
the answer.
Well, because we got into something else. Did I answer the second time around?
Yeah, you did, yeah.
Finally.
So, you kind of go, yeah. So. Hold it. Before you go, what do you think, Gio?
About what?
about that. When you look at it, what do you?
Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, I want them to stay here, and I hope John Mara doesn't have that same impulse that he had with some of those other guys that he was probably right about. But I think that these guys are different. I think that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are not Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge. They're not Pat Shurmur. They're not Ben McAdoo. I think these guys are better than that. And I don't want the Daniel Jones experiment to sink them. But there are some questions about some of these other Joe Shane draft picks, though, that's a little bit scary. But I would trust them to pick the next quarterback, especially after I saw the way that Brian Daboll loved Jaden Daniels in Hard Knocks in the offseason.
Yes. Well, I'll go back and say this one more time to just reaffirm it. I'd be really surprised if it gets to a situation where that would happen, where they would let him go. I think the team is showing some fight. They're getting better. This year's rookie class is really playing well for him out there. I think that's a really good plus for the Giants and Joe Shane and the organization. And to change, oh my gosh, I just can't imagine going through another change with the New York Giants. So I think you're right. I think they will be here, and we'll see how the rest of the season goes.
All right, Phil. Talk to you
all
soon,
right,
man.
Everybody have
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good day.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So we already gave away a pair of World Series tickets earlier. We're doing it again now. So this is the way that it happens. We're going to play a John Sterling drop for you this hour. You file it away. Do not call for the tickets this hour. When you call for the tickets will be next hour when you hear the drop again. So the drop for the tickets, Game 5 tickets, and the last pair that we are giving away today, there will also be a pair on BT and Sal during the 11 a.m. hour. The drop for this hour is...
These balls are stroked.
These balls are stroked by John Sterling. These balls are stroked. One more time, Ed.
These balls are stroked.
So when you hear these balls are stroked next hour, that is when you call 866-540-WFAN, 866-540-9326. You have to be caller number 7, and also these tickets cannot be resold. They will be digitally flagged. You got to go to the game, or you don't go to the game, but you can't resell them, and I don't know why you wouldn't go to the game. So that's what it is. Next hour, these balls are stroked by John Sterling.
These balls are stroked.
You call next hour when you hear that. The contest line, 866-540-WFAN. All right, Jerry, what's happening, man?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. And we're brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. And a little bit of a beatdown last night as the Yankees avoid elimination and beat the Dodgers.
1-1 from Honeywell. Line hard, deep to left field. It's a base hit. Soto around third, he'll score. Judge gets a hard base hit and a ribby. And the Yankees take an 11-4 lead.
And that was John Sterling. With the call, panting on the fan. 11-4 capped the scoring as the Yanks take Game 4 of the series, now down 3-1.
Yeah, just so you know, the Dodgers are used to losses like this because they had one of these against San Diego. They had one of these against the Mets. And now they have another one against the Yankees. And, you know, this is kind of what happens when you throw the pitchers out there that they threw out there. So now tonight is the money spot. And dare I say it, it's Gerrit Cole's biggest start in his Yankee career.
Sure is.
This is it.
What makes you say that?
I don't know. Maybe it's Game 5 of the World Series. Maybe that's why I would say that.
Yeah.
This is it. This is why you have paid him all the money that you have paid him. Now, he's delivered. You know, last year he delivered. He was great. This year, at last his last outing in L.A., he delivered. He's got to deliver again.
Well, thank you, Captain Obvious.
Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, we are talking sports. I figured that'd be a good thing to say. I'm sorry.
I got to be honest, I didn't see that coming.
Well, I kind of did just because when I did the whole sarcastic, what makes you say that? And he started doing a jiggle. And then he's jiggling a search. And I was like, yes, there's something coming. Here I didn't know it was going to be that.
Okay.
I thought something was coming.
Jesus, man, you can't even get a thought across here without getting freaking criticized.
Yep.
It's unbelievable.
And nobody is safe.
Are we not a sports talk show?
Oh, of course.
Are
yeah.
we rude?
Well, you know, I mean, I think we're an entertainment program. We're a morning show that entertains, and
okay.
our nucleus is sports.
And, well, yeah, it's the foundation.
The foundation.
Right.
Anthony Volpe, the go-ahead grand slam. Austin Wells homered in the sixth. Wells was on Fox. What was your mindset going into tonight's game?
I just said screw it. We were down three and really just went out there and said screw it.
Sounds like nothing to lose, right? Essentially. So they ask Aaron Judge, did you play like you had nothing to lose?
We're just focused on one game. Even when the series was 0-0, it was just about winning one game and kind of going from there. So just because our backs are against the wall, you know, it really hasn't changed that mindset, you know, especially with this group who's been through a lot. So we're just going to keep doing that.
He's boring.
All right, so here's how this whole thing can change in favor of the Yankees. The obvious, Gerrit Cole does his job. And then the second obvious thing is that Aaron Judge gets on the board tonight with a couple ding-dongs. And they win the game, and they take it back to L.A. Now, all of a sudden, maybe, and Shohei Ohtani is still mired in this malaise. And he's got the bad shoulder. And then you got to worry about Yamamoto, because Yamamoto, you know, basically shut them down.
You know what's funny is we always tend to use with the Yankees and the Mets the big players who make the big money, and now you got to step up. But they're actually going up against a team who's got more of those guys.
That's true.
So it's like when we're like, this is why you're getting paid $350 million. Like, that works with the Royals and the Guardians, but they've got a whole bunch of guys like Mookie Betts, $400 million. Shohei Ohtani, $700 million. Yamamoto, same thing, whatever he got, $350 million. I mean, it's just on and on and on and on and on with a bunch of guys that Dodger fans could be saying the same thing. This is why we gave you $700 million.
But there's a happy medium there. If the Dodger guys are doing it and none of the Yankee guys are, that's when you get pissed off.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about the Dodgers. I'm talking specifically to the Yankee fan, which is the majority of our audience.
Right, but G's point is well taken. These are two super high-powered teams. They're expecting the same thing. The problem is when Betts is doing what he's doing and free, like, hey, Judge, like, wake up. Like, you got to do something, too. Here was Jazz Chisholm. We can do this.
The one thing about us is we love history, and we love to make history. So, for us, we're out here trying to make history right now, and we know it's never been done, a 3-0 comeback, but we feel like we're the team that can do
all
it.
All right, we'll see. They got three more to go. Gerrit Cole, Jack Flaherty tonight. All the action here on The Fan. You want to hear this Tommy versus Tiki from yesterday?
Oh, I love this stuff.
I did not know any of this. Yeah. I did not hear any of this. So, they were getting into it. Tommy was getting into it with Sean Morash about Brian Daboll. I believe Tommy's take is he thinks either Daboll is trying to tank the season or he's just a bad head coach with the way things have gone, the way he handled Deontay Banks the other night.
I thought he was positive, out there. Tommy.
I'm just trying to set it up.
All right.
So here's Sean at the beginning and then Tommy making his... These cuts are a little long, about 30 seconds.
That don't look like a coach that was taken.
No.
That looked like a coach that was taken off and everything that went wrong.
Okay.
So take your L.
No, I'm not going to, because guess what else?
Molly guy.
Guess what I pounded, pal? That door number one is he's tanking. Door number two is he sucks. So you pick door number two. He sucks. You don't want to compare him to Tomlin? Let's compare him to the rest of the league. They have two wins. Guess what? You are what your record is. They had games they could have won this year. Cool. Bottom line is bad teams find ways to lose these games.
Are they 2-6 bad coaching? Fields and Russell Wilson?
All right, let's
blame Daniel Jones.
Who were their last, three losses to? By
all
way?
Right, so here Tiki gets involved and Tiki starts to get heated.
They lost to the Steelers.
Okay.
They lost to the
quarterback
Bengals.
Who won a Super Bowl.
Okay. Oh, wait a second. Now Russell Wilson just won us. He was horrible in Denver, which, by the way, with Nate Hackett as the head coach. I hate to say it, but
Nate
that's
Hackett.
The truth.
I love Nate Hackett. Forget Nate Hackett.
Okay, but he was his head coach.
Keep my friend's name out your mouth right now, because he's not anything great.
But he was Russell Wilson's head coach.
Okay,
and when he stunk in Denver. But you're giving me that he won a Super Bowl.
Who cares
if he stunk in Denver?
Yes, but he's coached well right now. He's coached unbelievably well.
That's my point.
Arthur Smith was a
terrible... They're not coaching Daniel Jones up.
Okay, so you understand where this is going so far?
Keep my friend's name out your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Then they bring up Arthur Smith, who's now with the Steelers.
Yeah.
And Tiki basically says, he sucks.
Arthur Smith was a terrible head coach. A garbage head coach. He couldn't get over 7 wins. He was garbage. But his ideas were actually quite intelligent. And when I went and had, I'd called 4 or 5 of his games. I'm like, dude, you just got to get the right quarterback to execute what you're doing, and you might have a chance. And guess what? Russell Wilson can do that. If you let Russell Wilson try to be Peyton Manning, he's going to fail. Nate Hackett, for whatever reason, let Russell Wilson try to be Peyton Manning.
All right, so we're kind of back and forth here a little bit.
If I were Tom, I would be like, hold on a second. Me and Arthur Smith go way back. It's one of my best friends. You keep his name out of your mouth.
Which would have been funny.
Yeah.
Couple more, and then we'll be done with this. Tommy brings up, here's Tiki saying one more, saying, of course, it's going to be different in Pittsburgh, though.
Mike Tomlin, who stands on 15 years of winning, said, Russ, you're going to do what the hell I tell you to do. Otherwise, you're not going to be a quarterback in the National Football League. So what the hell is Russ doing? 20 of 28, 8-yard throws, maybe a couple of shots downfield. He's playing like he did when he won a Super Bowl with the Seattle Seahawks. So get the coaching stuff out of your mouth unless you understand what you're talking about.
Where was Evan yesterday? Took another day off.
I believe he was there.
Oh.
Here Tommy brings up Malik Nabers.
Why is our number one overall, and I love Malik Nabers, why is he dropping passes every single
week? Because he's a rookie. Do you need anything else? He's a rookie.
I mean, he's dropping a lot of key passes.
I hate rookies. There's been one rookie in the history of my playing career that I loved, Jeremy Shockey, because he got it. He was
really?
A dog from jump. Rookies suck because they don't get it.
Just a couple more. And
wow.
Tiki, very critical of Nabers early on, and then he says, stop blaming Dable for this stuff.
Don't sit here and talk to me about coaching, because players are the ones that ultimately have to do it. And now, if a coach can't motivate a guy over time, then you know what? The coach has to take accountability for that. But with the New York Giants, Dabes coaches these guys hard. They're not executing. I can show it to you on tape. I did it all last year with Zach Wilson, why he was failing. It wasn't because Nate Hackett was calling bad plays, because Zach Wilson couldn't determine what to do.
How about that? Very interesting back and forth. Because
well, I did hear him say a lot of that last year. I do remember that.
So
yeah, I mean, wow. I mean, he was legit pissed at Tom.
Yes,
there, huh?
Very much. Get him out your mouth.
Yeah,
and you could hear
my friend's name out your mouth.
He was taking it to another. There was a few more.
Oh man,
long,
if Tommy really had like the guts, I would just find like every Tiki friend and just be like, find a way to criticize him all the time. You know, I think he's friends with Sean Payton, right?
Is he friends with him? I would figure he's probably friends with a lot of guys.
Yeah, but just like find the ones that like the coaches would be like, it was a real terrible coach. Oh, guys, I just want to throw this out there, something like that. Just get Tiki all fired up. Fired up Tiki's fun.
He was fired up yesterday, yes. I mean,
that wasn't even bad Tiki. That was nice. I was just about to say. Yeah.
That was real. He touched a nerve, clearly.
That was the most juice we got out of Tiki that wasn't from a computer.
And then Tiki really went after Daniel Jones, too. And he has backed Daniel Jones forever, as you know. Said he almost got Darius Slayton killed the other night. Nuggets beat the Nets in overtime, 144-139. Yeah. Nets are in Memphis tonight on 94.7 The Block FM. The Knicks are in Miami. The next hour, he'll from Nick Nurse, some more from Aaron Rodgers. Capitals beat the Rangers 5-2, Ducks over the Islanders 3-1.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jeannie Bouchard, who is a professional tennis player. She was actually in here. I think that you guys interviewed her as well. She was a part of one of the SI swimsuit deals, and she came in on Geo and Jones and also came down here to Boomer and Carton. I remember she was great. She was funny. Just awesome.
Oh, she's got the athlete sense of humor.
Yeah.
And she's flat out gorgeous.
Yes. So you got it. Exactly. So that's so she's popular. I think she dated Noah Syndergaard there for a little bit as well. I think they were hanging out for a little bit. But anyway, so she puts up on her Instagram last night. It's a picture of her holding a foul ball. So she says, okay, crazy story. A foul ball comes our way. People scramble. It's mayhem. And it ends up literally, next to my shoe. I pick it up. Yay, my first World Series game ever, and I catch a foul ball. Then I realize there's chaos in the row in front of us. It turns out that the ball hit off a lady's face. It got her in the eye. She's bent over, totally swelling, and bleeding profusely, and she can't stand up. The medics arrived, thankfully, immediately to carry her out.
I managed to take a picture with my ball, then I handed it to her on her way out. It possibly broke a bone in her face. She deserves it more than me.
See, that's a hero right there.
But, like, just think, though, if you're the woman who gets hit in the face with the ball, you're bleeding out of your face, right? And then here's this hot tennis player who's not bleeding out of her face, who's taking pictures on her Instagram story. I got a ball. And then the medics are carrying you out, and you might be blind. And she's like, hey, here.
Hopefully that woman's okay, man.
I know. Hopefully she's okay. And it's out of our control if she is or not. But I mean, I'm just saying that it's just like when it rains, it pours.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, here's your little consolation prize. Me, hot tennis player who got the ball that hit you in the face. Now you have a reminder of what broke your face. This is the thing that broke your face.
Where would they be? Where would they have been sitting?
You could see right here. This is where she was sitting. Right there.
So behind him. Behind home plate.
Yeah. So it got probably over the net that way.
That was like the ball that came into the box when we were there. Exactly. And Randy took it in the ass.
That's right. And I think that was, it's nice of her to do that. And she, you know, put the story out there. She wished her well. Hope you're on the way to recovery. Hopefully you have a full recovery. But I'm just thinking, like, as you're going out of there, like, I just got whacked in the face with a foul ball. I'm bleeding. My face could be broken. I might have lost sight in an eye. And then here comes, like, like a legit 10 athlete going, hey, you want the ball?
Here, kid.
Yeah, right. Here's the... I wouldn't be surprised. It's like, staff the ball! I don't care! Get away from me!
It makes me wonder, like, whether or not, like, that woman was a guest of somebody or whether or not she goes to a lot of Yankee games. I'm sure she's a Yankee fan, but she goes to... how many games do you think she's gone to? And she ends up getting...
Now, would you have given the ball to the person that got hit in the face with it?
Yeah, I would have. Yeah, definitely.
But I mean, is it part of that's almost like
when
you don't care about the souvenir when the ball broke your face.
Let me ask you a question though, because it happened to us. The same thing happened. Randy got hit in the ass. You got the ball, and who did you give it to?
Yeah, I ended
up. Who did you give it to?
I gave it to his daughter.
Well, you gave it because it hit Randy, and you look at you. You did the same thing as Jeannie Bouchard. It's the same exact thing.
It's not the same thing.
It is the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
It's the same thing.
How is it the same thing? I gave it to a little kid. I didn't give it to the person that got hit.
You said,
and this person was getting carried out by medics, bleeding from their face when Randy just had a little black and blue on his ham hock thigh.
You said that since Randy got hit that you were going to give it to his daughter, Aria. That's what you said.
Because all the kids were around, and they all wanted the ball. And I said, it's hard to choose with all the kids here. But
since her dad got hit with the ball, let's give it to her.
But everybody was okay.
It's the same thing that Gina Bouchard did.
No, it's not. Not the same.
Is it the same thing, Eddie?
Not the same. Not the same.
It's close, but
it's different. Along the same lines. The guy got hit with the ball, give it to his kid.
Like when you hit that woman with the golf ball.
Yes.
You signed the ball for her?
Well, what happened was, is Lee Trevino. I was playing with Lee Trevino. And he said, don't worry, because I felt terrible that I hit her right in the shin. And she was probably about 100 yards from me, and I duck-hooked one of my drives. And I hit her right in the shin. And we walked over, and she was down, and it was very painful. And, you know, I was waiting for the medic to come. And Lee Trevino said, don't worry about it. She's going to be okay, and she's going to come up to you after the round asking you to sign the golf ball. And I think this was pre-cell phone. That's how long ago this was.
It was the Cadillac, right?
Yeah, it was a Cadillac. It was in the 90s over at Montclair. So, yeah. So I ended up taking a picture with her with a camera and signing the golf ball.
You know why this struck me in the way that it did is because I feel like I would be in a situation like that. Like, it almost reminds me of when I got locked up with the boner pill and the Gansevoort. Like, here I am, like... And all these hot firemen walk in, like, you know, to drag me out of there in front of my future wife, you know, like that. It's like always that next level of something. It's not just the fact that I'm here hyperventilating and being embarrassed in front of this woman, but now six hot firemen walk in to carry me out of there. Like, that's what it is. Like, I feel like, you know, if I got hit in the face with a baseball, it would bounce off and land in Timothy Chalamet's hands. You know, and then he would be like,
hey, little guy, here you go.
And your nose is right on the other side of your face.
Right, and now I'm going to hand you this. I'm going to make $700 million and bang Kylie Jenner. See you later. Have fun at Lenox Hill.
I don't know. I feel like it's along the same lines of you giving the ball to Randy's kid. That's all. Yeah. Which is very kind. You were very kind. You were very, like, you felt bad for Randy, so you gave the ball to his kid. Just like Jeannie felt bad for this woman who got hit in the face.
I'm not saying that Jeannie did anything wrong. I find it humorous, though, that just like that this poor woman, like, not only am I getting carted out of here, but Jeannie Bouchard is the one who got the ball, who is completely like unfazed, nothing.
Well, the real question is, did the woman know that Jeannie Bouchard was there?
I don't know.
That's the thing, because she may not have known that Jeannie Bouchard gave her the ball.
Right. It could have looked like anybody got hit in the eye.
At that point in time, you know how it is. I mean, you get hit in the face. I mean, that poor woman, all she's thinking about is, like, people are staring at me. They're looking at me. You know, look at me. I'm a mess.
Yeah.
You know.
I know. I know. It's a tough spot. Hopefully she's okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.